And we'll hear arguments in the case of Wisconsin Valley Improvement against the United States.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Lori Lubinsky. I represent Wisconsin Valley Improvement Company, the plaintiff appellant in this action. The matter before you is a matter of first impression for this Court. The Quiet Title Act, 28 U.S.C., Section 2409A, sub G, provides a 12-year statute of limitations for bringing Quiet Title Act claims against the United States. The issue before you is when Wisconsin Valley Improvement Company's cause of action accrued. The statute, the language of the statute itself, provides that a cause of action accrues when a plaintiff knew or should have known of the claim of the U.S. That provision has not been interpreted by this Court. Other circuits and district courts have had the opportunity to enumerate the contours of that 12-year statute of limitations. And courts have found nearly universally that what that language of the statute means is when does the U.S. put the claimant on notice that the U.S. disputes the claimant's asserted claim, in this case a prescriptive easement claim. So the question is, under the statute, when did the United States put Wisconsin Valley on notice that it disputed Wisconsin Valley's prescriptive easement claim?
I had rather thought that there was widespread agreement that the standard was the usual objective rule of knew or should have known. But that's different from saying, when did the United States put the claimant on notice? As you phrase it that way, it sounds like the United States has to send a letter saying, we hereby put you on notice. But the should have known part is a rather important part of that formulation, and I trust you'll be addressing it.
Absolutely. As the district court in this case decided, and I think it's undisputed, there's no indication that the new part of the statute is implicated. It is the should have known part. And in addressing whether WVIC should have known, the courts have interpreted the should have known in a fairly typical manner, and that is they look at an objectively reasonable person standard and say, okay, did the claimant have notice or should they have known from something the government did or said that would have put them on notice that the government was refuting the claimant's contention? And that clearly is implicated in this case. The facts of this case are straightforward. There was a Federal Energy Regulatory Commission proceeding, a FERC proceeding. And my client, Wisconsin Valley, is a statutory Wisconsin statutory company that the purpose of which is to build, maintain, and operate dams and reservoirs. It does that, and it is required to obtain licensing through FERC.
I don't think that's a word. The agency also hates it. FERC, maybe, but actually, the commission is better for those of us who are not energy law specialists.
I'd be happy to refer to them as the commission. Thank you. The commission was determining various issues relating to WVIC's licensing, and in the early 1990s, there was intervention in the commission's proceeding by, among two agencies, one of which was the United States Forest Service. There were two. The issue that the United States Forest Service brought to the commission's attention was one of authority under the Federal Power Act for the commission to impose restrictions on WVIC's license. And in doing so, the Forest Service argued, we have the authority under the Federal Power Act to ask you, Commission, to regulate the levels at which WVIC has historically flowed over certain property. Now, I digress for a moment. In our complaint, we outlined 59 parcels of real property owned by the United States. There were six reservoirs outlined in our complaint, and one of those reservoirs is the Lac Vieux d'Isère Reservoir. It is that reservoir that flows water over a portion of a reservation. It is that reservation that gave the Forest Service authority to ask the commission to impose restrictions. And so, as the court is probably aware, the D.C. Circuit Court found that as to the Lac Vieux d'Isère Reservoir, the assertion of the Forest Service's power to ask the commission to impose restrictions was there because the flowage occurred over a reservation. Now, in that proceeding, WVIC argued, Forest Service, you don't have that authority because we've got prescriptive easement rights. In other words, my client said, the Federal Power Act authority does not give you the right to come in and make us do something different because we've got prescriptive easement rights. And the Forest Service, in its briefs, and that's what's at issue, there were two briefs, one filed in January of 96, one filed in February of 96. In those two briefs, the government asserted that, in essence, the court in that case did not have jurisdiction to decide WVIC's defense of the Federal Power Act authority. In other words, the Forest Service said, it doesn't matter whether WVIC has prescriptive easement rights or not, because this isn't the forum for WVIC to assert.
They also said, and if it does matter, they don't have those rights. That's the problem for you. There are two ways to lose that proceeding. One is if it didn't matter, and the other is if you didn't have the rights. What actually happened to the proceeding, by the way?
What happened in the proceeding is that the district court imposed the restrictions. I can't represent whether they were all, but did impose restrictions.
But let's start with what the commission did. What did the commission do?
The commission imposed restrictions.
Okay.
Lowered the reservoir on the Lac Vieux d'Isère Reservoir 9 inches.
And what did it say about why?
The why is that the Federal Power Act gave the Forest Service authority to ask the commission to impose the restrictions, and then the commission went on to justify and explain why it believed that was in the best interest in terms of lowering the water level, implementation of a wildlife.
No, I was interested in the why about this dispute. Did it say it just didn't matter whether your client has a flowage easement or?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And that decision, as the court is probably aware, was affirmed at the district court and then affirmed at the D.C. Circuit. And in the D.C. Circuit's opinion, which is a published opinion, basically what the D.C. Circuit said is that WVIC, if you claim you've got prescriptive easement rights, we're not the forum to bring those challenges. And it's the briefing that predated that the government is relying on. Let me address Your Honor's point, and that is that the government asserts that they made kind of a twofold argument. That is, that they claimed in their briefs that whether WVIC had prescriptive easement rights didn't matter, but if it did, we dispute that WVIC has prescriptive easement rights. What in essence they were doing, when you apply an objectively the reasonable standard to the should-have-known framework for the 12-year statute of limitations, is they were saying that to the extent you, Commission, don't reach the issue, or you, to the extent, Commission, you determine that their prescriptive easement rights are a defense, then we're going to preserve our rights now to refute it. But what they didn't say, and what's notable about their position is this. They never said, you can't flow. You haven't gained the prescriptive easement right to flow. You haven't, we're going to stop the flow. They made no statement representing their intention with respect to the historic flowage. Last point I'll make.
Well, wait a second. Before you move on, what's the point of preserving that issue in the way that the federal government did if it didn't intend to maintain it for assertion in an appropriate forum?
I think they did intend to maintain it for assertion in an appropriate forum.
Why
yes.
Isn't that the should have known? Why doesn't that meet the should have known?
It doesn't meet the should have known standard because that wasn't even the forum, as they admitted that the issue could be raised.
Well, I understand that, but it indicates an intention to retain the argument. It's not giving up the argument. It's not sitting on its rights. It's doing everything it needs to do to preserve its right and asserting that it has this interest in opposition to your client, which is enough to put you on notice for the statute of limitations purposes.
May I briefly answer your question? Preserving rights and asserting, as the courts have held, an interest adverse to somebody's rights are two very different things. Moreover, all the only issue as to those as to what they were asserting again is 16 of the 59 parcels, one reservoir, of all of the six reservoirs that are outlined in our complaint. So at the bare minimum, they weren't asserting any adversity with respect to the remaining parcels. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Ms. McDermott.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court. My name is Megan McDermott. I'm an assistant United States attorney for the Western District of Wisconsin. I represent a defendant appellee, United States of America, in proceedings below. And we're here today to ask this court to affirm the district court's decision dismissing this case for lack of subject matter jurisdiction.
What does this have to do with subject matter jurisdiction? It's just a statute of limitations issue.
Yes, the Quiet Title Act actually waives sovereign immunity for certain types of claims against the United States.
Yes, but what does that have to do with subject matter jurisdiction?
And the Supreme Court...
You surely are aware that we have held that sovereign immunity is not a question of subject matter jurisdiction.
Well, actually,
and
that
one
this...
One would hope that you would be aware that the Supreme Court has held that statutes of limitations, insofar as they affect waivers of sovereign immunity, are not jurisdictional. That's the holding of Scarborough against Prinkipi.
I understand that the Supreme Court has scaled back the issue of subject matter jurisdiction in statute of limitations context. However, in this case, the Supreme Court in Block versus North Dakota did hold that the statute of limitations under the Quiet Title Act is jurisdictional.
You're aware that that was cited in Scarborough, I hope.
And it
had, I'm just puzzled by the fact that district court and the parties have argued this in jurisdictional terms, and no one has discussed a recent unanimous holding of the Supreme Court of the United States that this is not a jurisdictional issue.
That's true, absolutely. There has been no recent discussion of the issue. However, most recently, the Ninth Circuit opportunity.
No. The Supreme Court discussed this question in 2004. My point is that the parties' briefs ignored the decision of the Supreme Court.
Well, it's our understanding...
You don't get anywhere ignoring recent holdings of the Supreme Court.
It's our understanding that Scarborough did not explicitly reject the statute of limitations under subsection G as being jurisdictional. And most recently in Kingman Reef Atoll, the Ninth Circuit expressly looked at this question.
12 days ago, this court excoriated the United States for making the kind of argument you're making now, suggesting it reflected a density bordering on perverseness?
Well, I will move on to my second point, which is subsection N of the Quiet Title Act, which bars any claim that's based upon adverse possession. And in this case, this is something we raised with the district court. The district court did not expressly address it. And we could ask the court to affirm on the alternative basis that under subsection N of the Quiet Title Act, because Wisconsin Valley's claims are based on adverse possession, the United States has not waived sovereign immunity for these claims. And specifically, if you look at plaintiff's complaint in its prayer for relief, it specifically asks for a declaration that the United States has no valid interest in the property at issue whatsoever. And that is a claim for adverse possession. It's not a claim for prescriptive easement rights. Moreover, Wisconsin Valley has argued that their claim is a prescriptive easement, but it's belied by their complaint, and it's belied by the very nature of the use to which they are putting the property. Specifically, they're asking to flow water well above the high water mark for all of the parcels at issue. And that use and possession of the land is much more akin to, for example, building a structure on the property that you intend to use periodically. And that deprives the true owner, the record owner, of the use of that property. So that is much more akin to a traditional adverse possession claim than it is to a traditional easement claim. And in the event that the court does consider our arguments under subsection G, we would ask the court to reject Wisconsin Valley's argument that the United States has abandoned its claims by not taking action or failing to act in a way that is inconsistent with Wisconsin Valley's rights. Wisconsin Valley is relying on a Ninth Circuit decision that held that abandonment can be a defense to subsection G, but we would ask the court to follow the Fourth, Eighth, and D.C. circuits in rejecting this line of argument and concluding that the 12-year period in subsection G cannot be waived. And unless the court has any further questions, I will conclude my argument.
Thank you very much. The case will be taken under advisement.